Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with a valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Welcome to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Now we have with us Country Joe, of course.
Yeah, I'm here.
As always. And our first guest we're going to have with us is Craig Russell from the Society for the Preservation of Poultry Antiquities.
Yay! You know, Craig,
if you're on with us enough, I'll get that more fluidly.
Very good. This is Craig. Uh-huh.
Glad to have you here. Now, I thought we could start off the show with, it is, you know, just about that time of year, even up where I am in Massachusetts, spring is starting to maybe spring, and talk about spring and the chickens.
All right. I think one of the things that comes with spring is Easter, and there's always kind of pressure to get little ducks or little chicks for children at Easter. Well, if you've got the place to keep them and you know how to care for them, that's fine. But do your homework before you get chicks or ducklings, or you may have a disaster.
Yes, I'm finding that out. I get a lot of people calling. I guess I was talking to you earlier about a lady who bought some baby chicks, put them in a box, and stuck them on her back porch. And the next morning, they were all dead, and she didn't have a clue why. You know, and that's where we start. And I hear that a lot, you know, that's the whole thing. People don't do their homework on this sort of thing. And they see
a little cute fuzzy thing and they don't understand that it is a living, breathing, warm-blooded creature with certain needs.
Yeah, that needs to be in 95-degree heat the first week of its life.
Exactly. Or at least have 95-degree heat available to it, whether it's in a brooder or with its mother.
Right. Yeah, and that's, it holds it true for baby ducks or baby any baby bird. And I'm not too excited about people doing this without doing their homework, like you say. You know, you just go out.
It's frightening, and I think lots of people have disasters that just a little bit of research would take care of.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you know, I am a rabbit person myself, had a pet bunny for years, and we always say, think chocolate. Give your child a chocolate rabbit. Give your child marshmallow chicks. If you're not prepared for the responsibility of having baby chickens around.
And what happens is after they have the disaster, they never want to take that challenge again. You know, it's been a disaster. My kids cried. I cried. And they won't try it again. You know, and that's the sad part because they didn't do their homework and they have a tragedy and they'll never do that again. And I've talked to countless people that have done that. And they have no idea what to feed them. You know, they buy a little bag of food in the store and don't know where to get it again. And they try to feed them grown-up chicken food because they don't know when they run out. It's really is a disaster. And I think, you know, maybe Craig, that you and I and Karen, we can all get together and give people some tips on what to do, you know, when you buy or you want to buy a chicken or a baby duck, you know, how to care for them, how to set up for it and what to do for it. I think that's where we ought to start.
I think you're exactly right. Although people need to think
and I think
ahead.
We should start planning now and not
take care of the
necessarily
chick.
Bring it home for up. Easter Day.
Yep.
Hello?
Yes. I'm here.
Okay. So what do you suggest, Craig? How should we start this out, you know, informing people what to do first?
Well, the first thing is to think it through. The chick, even if you know how to take care of it, is going to grow up. So you need to be able to provide a long-term home or have a place for it to go if it outgrows a city situation. But one thing that's very important, 95 degrees for the first week, I would actually recommend if you have, and not just one chick, these are social animals. Yes, yeah. You're going to spend time with it, but whether you have three or a dozen or whatever, make sure that they have adequate heat. And one good suggestion is if they need plenty of room. If you have a good-sized box, maybe two brooder lamps with a 40-watt bulb in each at each end, just in case one blows, they still have heat from the other one until you can recover and replace the first one.
Mm-hmm. And the other important thing is food and water. Now, all the hatcheries suggest, and I found that to be true too, Craig, is you take the baby chicken, you literally have to dunk their beak right in the water for them to know that that's water.
Right. That certainly helps if they do not have a mother to show them how to do it, to give them a drink of water. It doesn't hurt if you get chicks shipped to you to give them their first water with a little sugar in it so they have energy, or a vitamin mineral supplement. Mm-hmm. But in the short term, if you get a chick and you get a little bag of feed, you can supplement that with oatmeal or even crushed hard-boiled egg. But a Tractor Supply, some pet stores around Easter would have it. You can get Chick Starter at, well, your local feed mill or mm-hmm. a Tractor Supply or a similar facility.
Mm-hmm. And that's true. And they do need Chick Starter because of the protein difference.
That's correct.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't realize that. You know, they think chicken feed is chicken feed. And Chicken Starter is ground up very, very fine, like a baby food for the baby chickens. And I found that, believe it or not, people didn't realize that. They had cracked corn and all kinds of ungodly things and couldn't figure out why their chicks weren't eating it. It's funny when after you've been doing this a long time, you hear all kinds of stories and you go, my God, it's just common sense, I thought. And it's not, really. It really isn't.
Well,
you know, they say common sense is
a little
not
uncommon
necessarily
these days
common. Yes.
When it comes mm-hmm. to things like chickens that people aren't used to.
Yeah. Or else, like you say, they'll buy just one. And chickens need to be, you know, at least two. One chicken just usually doesn't survive, I don't think, you know.
It can survive, but it's not going to be happy.
No, it's not. And I've seen that before, too, you know, where they just leave it in a box. And when they think about feeding it, you know, after the glow, the first week, it's not fun anymore for a lot of people. You know, it's more of a nuisance. And that's the sad part. I've gotten chickens and whatnot up here. You know, people say, you know, we bought them for our daughter. She wanted baby chicks for Easter. And it's a week later. Now she's bored with them. You want them? And I'll take them. So I always end up taking them. And this happens periodically. It didn't happen last year, but boy, for a while, it just seemed like everybody was running up here, you know, the week after Easter and the month after Easter. I was getting everybody's baby chickens, and I gladly take them, but I mean, you wouldn't believe the neglect.
Right. I've had the same thing, Joe, and it's, once again, thinking it through, the same thing happens with Christmas puppies. People mm-hmm. get this cute little puppy, and 6 weeks later, they're trying to find a home for it.
Yeah. Yeah, because they don't realize what it entails, you know. And they'll say, oh, they're starting to stink. And I'm thinking, do you clean it? What do you have in there? And again,
exactly.
You know, no bedding. We have paper towels on the bottom of the box. You know, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, you know. But, we run through this all the time. And I think people ought to be aware of the things that they need, you know, the shavings in the box and cleaning the box frequently, depending on how many you've got, you know. And the fresh water daily, which is important. And the chick starter. And like you say, the supplement when you first get them, they do sell the packs, you know, the vitamin packs for them.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, and all of that stuff is very critical. And like you say, when they lose their cuteness, which is, usually within, what, 3 weeks, they start growing feathers and all the fuzz is gone. They're not so cute anymore, I guess. I guess that's when I usually get them, is they're starting to feather out and they're not cute anymore. Here, Joe.
that's right. You know, they get into that awkward stage and children become disenchanted with them. And it's like, well, no, it was never going to stay looking like a little stuffed animal. This is a living creature.
Mm-hmm. And they get bored with it.
And you know, it is eventually going to be a beautiful feathered chicken, but it takes a few steps to get there.
Yeah, and always, and the first question you get, well, when's it going to lay an egg? I always get that one. That's funny. How long are I going to keep this thing? And I said, well, about 6 months before you're going to get any. Oh, God, I don't want to keep it that long. Yeah, I'm thinking, what would you buy this for? You know? Or as people will buy ducks, and I feel bad for them because they don't have a pond for them to swim in. And I'm always a big thing on that, you know. That's why I don't have ducks on my farm, because I don't have a pond. And you know, I think that's kind of a cruel thing, you know, to buy a baby duck, you know, and they're cute, but if you don't have a place for them to swim or no water, I think that's a wrong thing. But I guess I'm not a big advocate of owning chickens if you don't think it out and want to keep them for a long period of time, because Craig, I mean, chickens can live to be very old. I mean, very old.
That's correct. I had one hen that I bought as an adult who lived with me for 17 years.
Yeah, isn't that something? I heard 25 years you can get out of a chicken.
That's rare, but yes, the record is over 20 years. It's as with a dog, if you're going to buy it, you've got to make the commitment.
Yep.
I loved what Karen said. She's a rabbit person. If it's Easter and your kid wants a rabbit, think chocolate rabbits. If you don't have a place for the chicken or the duck, you should think marshmallow chicks.
Yes.
That's right, because when marshmallow chicks go stale, you can just throw them away. But when real chicks start getting into that awkward age with the pin feathers and looking kind of scary and dinosaur-like, it's not going to be kind to throw it away, and you're not teaching your children anything good about it either. Guys, we are almost out of time for this segment.
Okay.
If you'll both hang on with me, we will be back with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
Get in on the fun and the rewards of caring for animals as a professional. Train to be a pet groomer or a veterinary assistant at the Florida Institute of Animal Arts. Turn your love for animals into a lifelong career. There are thousands of jobs in the growing professions of pet groomer and veterinary assistant. We help place graduates. Ask about tuition financing. The Florida Institute of Animal Arts, Winter Park, 407-869-PETS. On the web at myfiaa.com.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show. Now, in our first segment, if we have discouraged you from getting little baby ducklings or baby chicks, we're glad if you're not prepared to do it. But say you're a person who has never had chickens ever before, but you've thought about it, you've done some research, and so you get not one, but at least three little baby chicks. Now, how much space do you have to have for them, and what... You've already said we need a box with a light source. Now, are these bulbs just normal 40-watt bulbs, or are they special lamps that you need to get?
With a few chicks, a normal 40-watt bulb would be very good. And like I said, it's a good idea to have two some distance away so that if one goes out and it's nighttime, your chicks aren't dead in the morning. They're huddled under the other bulb. One thing you can tell if chicks are too hot or too cold, they're going to be peeping and uncomfortable if they're cold, and they're going to be as close to the heat source as they can be. If they're too hot, they're going to be as far away from it as they can be. it doesn't hurt to have a thermometer to check, but for the first week, they should have 95-degree temperature available to them. And that goes down about 5 degrees a week. Even in cooler weather, by the time they're 8 weeks old or so, they should not need supplemental heat if they have a quality shelter. But until then, they need some heat if it's necessary. They don't have to have it all the time, but they should be able to get it whenever they need it.
Right. They need access to it. And, of course, at 8 weeks, 8 weeks from Easter up here in New England, it's still going to be pretty chilly, so they might still need a heat source if you're in Boston or in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Yes, although not, they don't need as much heat as mm-hmm. they need it when they were day old or week old.
Mm-hmm. Now, you say we talked in the last segment about starting out with a certain kind of chicken starter kit. How long do they have to have that? And then how do you transition them to more adult food?
Well, there are different feeding regimes for different kinds of chickens, for layers or meat chickens or whatever. And there are different regimes by different feed companies. Normally, I would follow the mill's advice. If they've got a starter that they suggest you feed for 6 or 8 weeks, I would do that. And then you would switch over to a grower. If they suggest that you switch to their grower after 3 weeks, I would do that. If you find that one program works better for you after you've done this for 20 years, use that program. But if you're starting out, take the advice of the experts that are producing your food.
Yeah, and also let them have unlimited access to feed when they're young. That's another important
absolutely.
Feature. Yeah.
And feel free to give them treats. They'll do well with things like, well, chickweed. It's called mm-hmm. chickweed because traditionally it was the green that you started chicks with.
But right.
Bits of spinach or some other green, even your chicks a couple of days old, will relish that kind of thing.
Yeah, lettuce. If you cut it up
yep.
fine. That's what I do with my chicks is I cut mm-hmm. lettuce up fine with scissors, and they really love the greens, and that's what gets them going for later on in life when I feed them all greens. They look forward to that. And the clean water thing is another thing. I noticed that they'll mess in their water. They put the shavings in the water, and
right.
That has to be tended to, really on a daily basis. So, there is a little bit of work to these things when you first get them, and a lot of people just don't have that concept, I guess. They think we just put them in a box, give them some food, and play with them when you think of it or something. And those are the chickens I always get.
Exactly, and what you said about they're smelling because you're not cleaning them.
Yeah, right.
And that's part of the work that's required if you're going to do it well.
Mm-hmm. And any animal, if it eats, it eliminates. And if it eliminates and you don't clean it, chickens do not come with a neatness certificate.
Yeah. That's true. They are not as clean as cats, and even cats can be a problem.
Yep. Yeah, I have them too.
If you don't, right, so do I. If you don't have the facilities for them, it's mm-hmm. not going to go easy. Mm-hmm. And when you have the facilities for them, you've got to clean that litter box from time to time.
Yeah. Now, I also noticed, Craig, they recommend using a red light for pecking. And I've never used a red light, but I've never had that problem with chicks.
Well, that's because you use a red light. One of the things my grandpa used to say is that if your chickens are pecking each other, they're too crowded. They're telling you something.
Uh-huh.
But for crowded chickens, a red light will keep the picking from getting serious because they can't see the blood and so on if a bird is injured. But that's not necessary if your chickens have plenty of room. As adults, 3 square feet per bird is a minimum. Much more makes the birds happier. And, mm-hmm. and of course, you work up to that gradually with chicks, but they should not be standing shoulder to shoulder and unable to move. They should have plenty of room to move around, and if they've got lots of food, a good quality food, so they're not undernourished or anything, and they have ample room, you don't need a red light because they're not going to be picking each other.
Mm-hmm. I notice a lot of the hatcheries recommend that. Maybe that's just because they're selling red lights.
Well, it's not because they're selling red lights. It's because a lot of their birds go to people who, look, the modern commercial chicken industry is designed for profit. It's not designed for chickens.
Right.
And I'm a fellow who has caught chickens out of broiler houses a few times. Well, they're standing in those broiler houses when they're ready to go to market, shoulder to shoulder, way too crowded. And if you're living like that, you need a red light to keep your friends from eating you.
Wow. Yeah, boy.
And boy, if you're listening to Country Joe's Chicken Show, we want you to have happy chickens that don't need the red light. It's not going to hurt anything if you have it. But we'd rather they have enough room to wander around. You know, I remember being smushed in the back seat of some relative's car between my two siblings, and we did the human equivalent of pecking at each other plenty.
Uh-huh. But I ran into that too. my chickens, I noticed that a long time ago that I had some pecking in my coop, and it was from overcrowding, I learned early in the game. But occasionally I still get that, Craig, and I'm very careful about that. But chickens do tend to be very cannibalistic, I noticed. For one gets hurt, they all go after it. And that's another thing that people should watch. I guess most people don't realize how cannibalistic a chicken can get. But
right, a chicken on range is almost never going to be cannibalistic. But a chicken in a pen, particularly without enough room, that can be a real problem.
That's right. You know, our fellow All Paws Pet Talk host, Annie Greer, has upon occasion taken, if she's had an injured chicken, she takes that chicken out, and that chicken is in quarantine until it's better.
Oh, yeah.
So that the other chickens in the yard don't exacerbate the problem.
Yeah, and that happens to me. And if I don't get to it in time, they'll kill it. And that's something I've seen. You know, before I could get to the chicken, they'll gang right up on that, you know, like dogs on a cat. And that was always got me, how cannibalistic they are. I mean, even with each other and eating eggs. There's another problem that I run into all the time too, Craig, is egg eaters.
Well,
a lot of people don't realize it.
One of the things, Joe, with egg eaters, this is kind of off the topic we were on earlier, mm-hmm. is if you have nests that have plenty of nest material in them, so mm-hmm. they're not getting broke against the hard surfaces, you're not going to have too much of a problem. But if you do have a problem, try to darken those nests. If they can't see the egg, they won't eat it. A lot of old-timers had, curtains hanging over the nest that the chicken could move through, but in the nest it was pretty dark and they couldn't see the eggs.
Oh, wow. Jeez, I thought that just came from pecking. You know, they started pecking each other, and you know, and then they started in on the eggs. You know, I wasn't sure how that got started.
Right, but if they can't see the egg, they won't peck it.
Uh huh.
But getting back to these, if people are owning chickens for the first time, it is certainly something to consider, because we've already told them they don't want just one chicken; they want, you know, not one chick, but several, at least three, so they have company for each other. But pay attention to your chicks, because if one gets injured, you know, that may be a scene that you don't want your five-year-old to encounter.
Exactly. Yeah, because we've seen it.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the other things you said, you know, it's okay to give chickens the greens, the treats, even when they're very young. Are there any green vegetables that aren't okay for chickens?
Oh, yes. I just had a whole list of that, Craig. Avocados was one of them. Tomato leaves was another one that surprised me.
Right. Tomatoes they love, but the leaves
are poison.
Not good.
Yeah. And
the
there was a whole list that I had.
Tomato leaves and so on.
Mm-hmm. But, dude, I think if you stick to the broccoli and the lettuce, you'll be okay, and grass and that sort of thing.
Yep. But and some of the common weeds like lamb's quarter and chickweed, those are things that they eat with relish. Even dandelion they like.
Mm. Extremely. I that's where all mine go. Because I don't fertilize my lawn, you know. I save all the dandelion plants. I let them get big. That's your treat.
And yep. As long as you don't let them blossom and the seeds spread to your neighbors, then you'll still have happy neighbors. Gentlemen, we are just about out of time for this segment.
Okay.
Thank you, folks. It's been a pleasure.
Okay.
Thank you, Craig, so much. And
yeah.
We'll be right back with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk. Now, Joe, we are talking spring. For those of you who have existing chickens, do their behaviors change this time of year? You know, there's more light, there's more mud. How does life change this time of year for a chicken farmer?
Well, my chickens, all laying hens, need a lot of light during the winter to lay eggs. So I give them the artificial light to get the 14 hours of light that they need for their egg production to stay the same. But down here in Florida, you know, the chickens pretty much will breed year round. I don't know about up north, you know, where it's cold. But I know down here it's like summer all the time. But the chickens down here, you know, the light does play on the older chickens, you know, for that. But the chicks this time of year down here, everybody is hatching chicks. This is really big down here. Of course, like our days down here this time of year, getting close to Easter, we hit 80 here today. So, I mean, it's like, you know, up north in the summer. But getting back to the baby chicks, you know, there's a couple of things that I wanted to mention about. They say better off to have a round cardboard box for baby chicks than a square one, because when chicks get scared, if you have a bunch of them, like a dozen or whatever, they all huddle to a corner and they can smother, whereas a round deal, they can't.
So no corners available.
Well, you know, if you got one or two or three, it doesn't matter. But you're getting up around a dozen. They all, if you go in and you scare them, and they get scared very easy, they'll all run to a corner. And that's just their natural instinct to do. And if they stay there long enough, they can smother. The one on the bottom, you'll get smothered. And that's happened. I've had people tell me that, you know, oh my God, you know, my chicken smothered, or why did he smother, or whatnot. But a lot of the hatcheries, where you order your chickens, they sell the little round cardboard rings, or you can make one. It's really easy, and hang your light in the middle, and your feed and your little water things. They make little waterers and feeders for baby chickens. Which is really, really good. And you got to also start another thing, you know, I'm sure Craig agrees with too, is you got to give a chicken grit, which is usually oyster shell, ground up oyster shell, because a chicken can't chew. They swallow the grain whole, and it goes into their neck, into a crop. And to digest it, they need grit, which will break down the chicken food, and then it goes down into, you know, through their system. But grit is very cheap. It's like I say, it's crushed oyster shell, and I give all my hens that for a dual reason, for chewing, breaking down their food, but it's also good calcium for the egg supplement. So that's just another little thing that you look for when you buy your chickens, you know, the,
now,
for
supplement. Is that true of ducks and geese and all poultry, that they need grit to be able to digest well?
Yeah, and usually, like down here in the South, especially down here in Florida, we deal with a lot of sand, so they can't get little stones and whatnot like they would normally swallow, like up north. You know, they would swallow sand and little stones, and that helps them to break down the chicken food. But down here, it's all just like beach sand, basically. So I give them grit. Every day I have a bowl out there, and they have free access to grit. And you'll watch them. They really do eat it. And it's really, really good. You know, it helps them. It really, really does. And, you know, like the other important thing when you first get them too is, when you put down your shavings, you want to wait for a couple days. I put down like a newspaper and then put some of the feed down on the newspaper so they can see it. You got to remember, when they first come out of the egg, they haven't eaten for 3 days when you get them. And they don't know how, basically. I mean, it's instinct a little bit. But you have to show them. You have to put their beaks in the water. I do. And, mm-hmm. and put down their food on a newspaper for the first couple days, and then I put it in the dish, and then I put the shavings down. And I like wood shavings. Wood shavings are really, really good.
Now, do you have to avoid – I know for some small animals, like for rabbits, we tell people to avoid pine shavings because the scent, the oil from the pine, can be bad for a rabbit because their mouth is so close to the ground. But are pine shavings okay for chickens, or is there any kind of wood you have to avoid?
Well, I don't know. I use pine shavings on my chicks, and mm-hmm. I always have. And the old timers always showed me how to use it. So I've always used that, and I've hadn't had any problems with it. But
well, of course, chickens' heads are further off the ground than rabbits' right. heads.
Yeah. But yeah, those are just some of the little tips. Other than the heat, you know, for raising your baby chickens. And other than that, you know, if you buy them through a hatchery, they'll ask you if you want them vaccinated. Some people do, some people don't. It's preference. You know, it's all, you know, a lot of people say, no, I don't want my chickens vaccinated. And other people, they do. And it's
What would the vaccinations be against? I know we've talked on other shows about the necessity of worming chickens.
Yeah. Well,
but what are the vaccines for?
Well, the vaccines are for some of the diseases that they can get. I'm trying to think right off quick here. We can get them vaccinated for.
And are there different vaccines for you in Florida than for, you know?
Yeah, no, they're pretty standard. They're pretty standard when you get them vaccinated. And but I don't get my chicks vaccinated. But I, you know, because I haven't had any problems with them. So, you know, like I say, it's all a matter of, you know, I'm just looking to, you know, some of the
matter of preference. And, yeah. And if, but of course you are someone who has been raising chickens for more than 1 year now.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a thing.
How long has it been?
Oh God, I've been raising chickens, I'll bet you 15 years anyway. Different types of chickens for 15 years, but I've gotten really, really big into it over the last 7 or 8 years when I started getting up into the hundreds, literally just hundreds of chickens. And, you know, like I say, we raise eggs here and we raise meat chickens and meat turkeys and whatnot, but that's what we do here. And and I do worm them, and there is worming medicines for your chickens, but they're going to get it. And you can get organic or all natural, you know, wormers. And diatomaceous earth is a good one. You know, that's it. You know, they got different diseases you were asking me about is the pox, Newcastle's, bronchitis, those kind of things. And that's what these usually are for. And like I say, I haven't had those problems, thank God, to worry about that. But that's generally what you do that for. But I think if you keep your chickens clean and your water clean and your feed dishes clean, you usually don't run into a problem unless you're taking in strange chickens that from another place. And that's the other thing I wanted to tell you. When I do take chickens from other people, I keep them all the way across my property. I have what I call a quarantine coop where I keep them for at least 30 days away from my other chickens before I introduce them to the other chickens.
Because there are diseases that can pass from chicken to chicken, right?
That's right. So that's why I always wait at least a month, 30 days. And I have a special coop just for that. And it works out really well. You know, like I say, I haven't had any problems, knock on wood, just for that reason. But a lot of the people that's why it's fun if you're going to get chickens to join, like a chicken club, even an online chicken club, where you can ask all your questions or ask people about problems you have. That's why we formed one down here in Florida, and it's gone to, my God, I think we're closing in on 500-600 members in a very short period of time.
And you know, even if you're thinking of being a chicken person for the first time in your life, chances are you're not the first person thinking about owning chickens in whatever part of the country you're in whatever city, whatever town, whatever neighborhood. And so asking around, you know, you can make your own little network of other chicken knowledgeable people.
Oh, yeah. And like I say, in downtown Atlanta, there's a chicken club. People in downtown Atlanta have chickens in their backyard. They got into this, and now they have their own little clubs. And like we formed down here. Our chicken club down here is very active. Once a month, we have picnics at different people's houses and stuff and just talk about chickens, and they trade chickens, sell chickens, and not just chickens, ducks, geese, guinea hens, peafowl. All of that, and you really learn a lot, because some people will just breed a certain kind of chicken, and you may want that kind of chicken, and they got all the answers for you. And chickens, you know, generally like all the same things, but you get tips from and little ideas when you go to these chicken picnics. You know, you look at somebody's coop and you go, "Hey, I'm going to do that." You know, like they had a PVC pipe cut in half, and it was shaped like an L, and they just filled it from the top, but the bottom half was cut in half as a feeder. So they didn't even have to go in the coop to feed them. They just dropped it in a bucket, and it was like a 6 or 8 inch PVC pipe, and they had it.
So it formed its own little dish.
So, I mean, you know, and I thought, wow, hey, that's cute. You know, so I tried that, and that worked out in one of my coops. You know, did all of them.
And so just like chickens like company, you know, if you're going to be a chicken person, find some other chicken people to be your own little chicken group with you.
And the fun part is if you pay a lot of attention to your chickens, really every day you handle them, and they look forward to that. They come to you and they want to be picked up, and they love to be held, and they'll follow you around the yard, and they're just a great source of entertainment. I have a guy up the road who buys chickens, and he takes all my old chickens that don't lay eggs anymore just because they entertain him. He sits on his porch and he just watches chickens. He feeds them bread. Chickens, a social stat, you know, chickens, there's always a leader in the chicken group, you know, and he can't get over that. Yeah, he just loves that. Watching, he calls one of them the colonel, and the rest of them are all the privates underneath them, you know. That
That's right, the lower ranking privates and the sergeants, and the definite colonel is the highest in the pecking order.
But yeah, he does that, and he enjoys all my chickens. He'll come to me every now and then. He'll say, "You got any more chickens?" You know, I'll give him chickens.
He's the chicken retirement home.
Yeah, he just sits on his porch out there, and you know, he just watches chickens all day. But chickens are a great source, and ducks are too. Like I say, I just love to, you know, if somebody's going to have a duck, have a pond. You know, because I think ducks should have a pond to swim in, and. Why I don't have ducks is because right. I have a pond.
Well, we are just about out of time for this segment, folks. We will be right back with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show.
Now you can walk and exercise your pet no matter what your condition using the bike toe leash. There is nothing like the bike toe leash. It easily attaches to bicycles, electric scooters, and other mobility equipment. It acts like an extra left arm to communicate and to control your pet in the healing position. You can install it in minutes. The bike toe leash is recommended by trainers and used by owners and working dog handlers of all kinds. So now you can get out and have fun and exercise your pet very safely. go to our website, www.allpawspettalk.com, and go to the sponsor page and hit the Bike Tow Leash banner, or call toll-free 857-245-3364. That number once again, toll-free 857-245-3364.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And I want to get in before we end the show. I always almost forget to say that if you have a question for Joe or any of us at All Paws Pet Talk, the website is allpaws, P-A-W-S, allpawspettalk.com. And there's a form right there on the homepage if you scroll down. And if you're asking a question about guinea fowl or geese or chickens, you know, we'll direct that to Country Joe, even if you don't tell us to, because of all of us, he's the chicken guy expert that we have. Now, Joe, we were talking about, you know, people getting chickens for the first time if they're trying to get them for Easter chickens or ducklings. Or are there kinds of chickens that if you're faced with, you know, a choice of 50 different kinds of chicken, is there a good starter chicken for people?
Well, I tell you, there's a. I just got some recently that I'm very impressed with. They're called Saramas, and they're like a miniature chicken. And they're if you think of size wise, they come in three classes, A, B, and C. But the small ones literally weigh out in ounces. They're like full grown, maybe the size of a pigeon, maybe. In some are smaller, and those tend to be people want to pick them up and cuddle them all the time, and they make very excellent pets. I've got some out here now. I got five of them that when they see you, they come running. They just want to be picked up and held, and they're so small that you don't even keep them in a coop. We keep them in like a large cage, you know, so the predators don't get them and whatnot, but very, very, very friendly. The hens especially. The roosters tend to be, like all roosters, a little bit protective of the hens, and, you know, they can be a little standoffish and, you know, that sort of thing.
Territorial.
Yeah, yeah, they are, you know, they are. And, but the hens make excellent pets. And I would suggest trying those, for a first chicken. And they're not any more expensive than any other chicken. And, you know, like I say, especially if you're like in our chicken club and whatnot, I've got baby Saramas here now that are just hatching out, and Karen, they're almost the size of a bumblebee. You know, they're that small when they first hatch out. I mean, it's incredible to see how small they are, and but everybody wants to hold them and cuddle them and that whole thing. But they make excellent pets. But on the other side of being, you know, you can get the bigger chickens if you want to, and they'll all, especially the hens. I always lean toward the hens because roosters, once they mature, they become, you know, the bullies. You know, they don't want to be picked up and messed with. But like I remember on the last show, we had a guest that even makes diapers for the chickens, so you can breed them in the house.
And that's,
you know,
right.
And, you know, that's what I'm saying. You know, chickens now are becoming the fad. They really are. We have a girl in this town who has a silky chicken. Now, silky, the feathers almost look like silk. That's why they call them silkies. And they come in white.
Yes, and they look like Phyllis Diller chickens.
Right. But she has one that, I mean, she's eccentric, I think. But, you know, God love her. But the chicken has a spa day. Every week, where she brings it into the spa and it gets a bath and the whole thing. And this chicken just absolutely now just looks forward to it and loves it. And I even forgot the chicken's name, which she'd get mad if she knew. But the chicken rides in a special thing she makes in her car. The chicken rides with her and doesn't fly around, doesn't do anything. But the chicken is so used to being held and hugged and, you know, a spa day. It's just unbelievable. It really is. But she had a peacock. This is a funny part, you know, that she had gotten, and the peacock had an eye problem. And just to show you the extent that people go with these pets now, she brought it in and got $1,000 operation on this, on her peacock's eye, you know. And I thought, wow.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's really, people really, really get into their bird pets now.
And of course, if you're going to have a special pet like a peacock,
yep.
You know, it's not your garden variety veterinarian who can do eye surgery on a peacock. And that's something to consider whenever you're thinking of a more exotic pet. You know, you touched a little bit on something that I wanted to bring up, especially for people who are thinking of getting, again, you know, it's spring, getting chickens or ducks as pets around Easter or, you know, just because it's spring, which is protecting your ducklings, your chicks, your young chickens from predators.
Right. And that's air predators like owls and hawks, believe it or not, and raccoons, possums down here in the south, fox, bobcats, all of which I've had problems with at one time or another down here. And if you're going to build a little coop, I suggest an outside coop. I always bury my wire going straight down at least 10 inches to a foot straight down, and then I come out away from the coop with a wire at least a foot.
And
I'll put like stones or bricks or whatnot.
That's to keep raccoons and fox from digging in.
That's it. That's exactly it. And that works out. And believe it or not, once I did that, and I have quite a few coops, obviously. Like I say, I've got two coops that are 80 feet long. And it took me a long time to get it all done, but I did. I've got it dug down. My wire goes down a straight foot, and it comes out a foot. And down here in Florida, we have no rocks, so I go buy the stones and fill it in. But
up here in New England, we grow rocks.
Yeah,
we have plenty of rocks everywhere. So it's kind of funny thinking that you have to buy rocks when you're building your little coop. And even if you're in a suburban area, somewhere in the city, there are still predators there. You know, there are hawks in the cities that nest on skyscrapers.
Right.
So don't think just because, you know, you can see the tall buildings from your backyard, don't think that your chickens are safe.
Uh-huh.
And they're also in a city or even some suburbs, you have to worry about cats and dogs.
Mm-hmm. That's why, you know, all the tops of my coops are all wired just as well as the sides are. I ran into that early on when I started doing it down here. I couldn't figure it out, and come to find out it was owls that were coming in here at night. And I was blaming it on the raccoons and blaming it on everything else until all of a sudden I started seeing a lot of mother owls with little baby owls all camped around my – and then I figured it out real quick.
And they said, oh, Joe's setting up a buffet for us. Yeah. How nice of him. We'll all move in over here.
So predators is a very, very big thing. I mean, it's just instinctual. You know, it's a chicken dinner is very easy to get if you don't take care of them. So that's the other thing. But on the other part, like I say, if people take care of them, they're a lot of fun. After 24 weeks, they start laying eggs, and you'll get an egg roughly every day. Not necessarily. It's every 24 to 27 hours you'll get an egg. So you get a benefit from it by having a hen. So that's a fun thing. And the other fun thing to do is incubate your own. You know, I mean, if you really like it after the first year, you get some fertile eggs from a farmer or whatnot, and you buy the little incubators that'll hatch 4 to 6 or 8 eggs at a time, and it's very inexpensive. And, you know, your eggs will hatch in 21 days. That's how long it takes for a chicken egg to hatch. And that's a lot of fun. I mean, you know, if kids really like that, because the new hatchers are all see-through plastic, so you can literally almost plan the time when these chickens are going to hatch, you know, on the 21st day, and you start watching them. And that's interesting. If you've never seen that, a lot of people haven't. But the way that you put your eggs, and you put the pointed end down and the big end up, okay, and when the baby chick starts, and that's for the air pocket. Okay, so, you know, so they
okay.
Yeah, that's the reason for that. And I was just saying, you know, I know it, but I, you know, I think everybody knows it. So then I remember, oh yeah, I got to tell. So, so you always put the big end up, and that's the air pocket. And the fun thing about that is when the baby chick starts to come out, he literally, it's almost like he's in there with a little hammer drill, and he'll actually take the cap of the egg off. He'll just keep pecking a spot all the way around the circumference of the egg until the top of the egg literally falls off. He just doesn't peck one hole in one spot and come out. It's so meticulous the way he does it. He goes all the way around the top, you know, and that's so interesting. That's why every now and then you'll see a picture of a baby chick with a, it looks like he's wearing the hat, you know,
yep.
The top. Yeah, well, that's what it is. That's how they come out. And that's a lot of fun. It's really interesting. I mean, if you, it's if you're into that sort of thing, a lot of schools do that around here now. They'll buy incubators, so small incubators, and they're really inexpensive. I think they're, you know, $79, $89, something like that, if I remember right, the little ones, and that's a lot of fun to watch, you know.
And once you have that incubator, you can use it year after year.
After a year, yep, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and that's a lot of fun. That's a lot of fun to do, and so that's all part of it. You know, if you really get into the chicken thing, that'd be the thing to do. It's one of those things like any other hobby. If you start it and you like it, you're going to stay in it forever. And if you start it and you don't like it, you know, that's going to be the end of that. Like I say, I get those people. You know, the panic people come up with their beer box full of chickens here. You don't do this anymore.
Yeah, people who didn't realize that those cute, adorable little chicks are going to have an awkward teenage stage sooner than later.
Right, and you know, where am I going to keep these? You know, I get that, and mm-hmm. but people that do get into it and do their homework, it's a lot of fun. It's just like any other hobby, and it's a very relatively inexpensive hobby. That's the fun part. It doesn't cost a big fortune, and if you have a little setup in your backyard and you have, you know, 4, 6, or 8 chickens, and you want to go away for the weekend, it's very easy to make sure. They sell the 5-gallon watering self-waterers that'll go, you know, 5, 6, 8 days for those birds. And you can leave for a weekend and feel free, you know, that nothing's going to get them if they're
in the. That's right. And try doing that with your small children. You know, that's not going to happen. Joe, we are running out of time for this week.
Okay.
And I want to tell everybody that they've been listening to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And we will close it out by saying it together with me, Joe.
Let the flock
be with you. Yes. And we'll be back next week with more.
Okay.
Get in on the fun and the rewards of caring for animals as a professional. Train to be a pet groomer or a veterinary assistant at the Florida Institute of Animal Arts. Turn your love for animals into a lifelong career. There are thousands of jobs in the growing professions of pet groomer and veterinary assistant. We help place graduates. Ask about tuition financing. The Florida Institute of Animal Arts, Winter Park, 407-869-PETS. On the web at myfiaa.com. She said,